Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Preacher Bill and the Gospel Hour message. Folks, this morning we're going to do a message. As every Sunday, I have a couple of songs for you, one at the beginning, one at the end, and some prayer requests. And before we do that, I always give out the message and not the full message, but the title, and then the chapters and verses we'll be using. So today it's Be Ye Watchful. It's from 1 Peter chapter 5, starting in verse 8 through 11. That's 1 Peter 5, 8 through 11. Acts 20, 17 through 31. And Galatians 1, chapter 1, verses 6 through 7. So if you'll go to Peter chapter 5 and then look at, put your finger on Acts and Galatians, and I'll lead you through, folks, as we do. But this morning I have a song for you that I want to play. It's a Gaither song, In the Sweet By and By. So while you're doing that, folks, you find your place in 1 Peter, and then we'll take off from there and we'll do the prayer after the song. Thank you for being here, and God bless you all. Thank you for that, folks. I'm glad we were able to share that message of the song with you. As I said, we're going to go through some prayers. So what I want to do is I want to start them out. First off, this morning, folks, we have Cammie Coates, prayers for family and protection. Some issues there that were going on that I think have resolved themselves, but I'm not positive. There was some issues over, I'm not sure, but there was, well, I won't even go into it. Let's just say family and protection, okay? Mike Wagner, who's a cousin of mine, second cousin of mine, for results concerning health tests. I'm hoping everything went well there. I'm not sure. Haven't heard back. That was the beginning of last week. Matt Fincher has high levels of lipase causing gastro issues. So if you could pray for Matt, I'm sure he'd appreciate it. Injun Jake Cassidy was taken to the hospital. I'm not sure what that's for, but please pray for him. And pray for the homeless and families suffering financially. Rhett Theralt's friend that we were praying for last week has passed. When they did disconnect the monitoring systems and all of that, life support, the individual wasn't able to sustain on their own. Joseph Gray, grieving the loss of his wife, still in healing. He's not doing well, and it's not just because of his wife passing, but Joseph's been sick for years with cancer and problems with his bone deterioration, and he's really on his way home to be with his wife also with the Lord. But pray for Joseph. What a good man he is. What an inspiration. Pray for the victims in that Pittsburgh synagogue shooting. Continue to pray for those families. Denise Dixon, her husband, I heard, are doing well. was an unspoken request, and that's been resolved, I take it. Michelle for salvation. Michelle's kind of a lost soul, folks. Please pray for her. She needs salvation really bad and a place to live because Michelle has got some issues going on there that it's just difficult for her. She's in a place right now to stay, but she needs her own place. Concetta's moving soon. I'm not sure, I guess, in a couple of weeks anyways. She needs prayer, so please pray for Concetta down in Bridgeport, Connecticut. Pray for Terry Williams. They just finally moved from Connecticut, and they're living up in Maine in Millinocket. Pray for them. They've moved, and they moved on Thursday, got settled in, and there's some things that have to be done, remodeling, stuff like that, to make the home for what they want it for. So pray for them. And then pray for a family. This family is an awesome family. Kristen and Scott Morin. I mean, I couldn't ask for a better chance to do the wedding for someone a few weeks ago. And Kristen and Scott were nice enough to send a donation to cover that cost. But what they didn't know at the time, and this is the praise of all praises, at least for me, I always say God always provides and he always does, folks. And, you know, my truck was broke down. It was in the shop. And when I got it out of the shop, the guy said to me, he goes, this truck's not worth fixing. There's probably too many issues. You can take it to a welder, but I don't think you're going to get anywhere. Well, I took it to the welder, and the welder fixed it. And he replaced the part underneath, and the truck is fine. Praise God for that. And the biggest praise of all is I didn't know where the money was going to come from. And because of the Morins, this newly young couple that was married, and the donation that they made, the financial gain went directly to repairs for that truck. And this is the part that's awesome, folks. The exact amount that I got from them was exactly what it cost me to repair my truck. And I'll tell you, when I say God always provides, he always provides. The exact amount, folks. We're not talking about like $100 less, $20 less, not enough money to cover the cost, where do I get the rest, or overabundance, not at all. God gave me exactly the need to keep that truck on the road because God knows I use that truck for ministry work. And because of the Morins, I'll be able to continue to do that service with my truck as a minister. And I thank you for that. Father, I thank you for all these prayers. I thank you for loving us and watching over us and providing for us as you always do. And for all those that are sick, folks, the homeless that have nowhere to go, and those that need food, and for those that are struggling with issues, whether it be in the home as a relationship or be outside in the world in our relationships with individuals. Lord, help us to look to you, to expect you to take care of all our problems. Because after all, Father, we are your children. And you said when we are yours, you'll provide for us and you'll protect us and you'll care for us. You'll never leave us nor forsake us. Thank you, Lord, for doing that for us. In the name of Jesus Christ, I pray. Amen. Folks, my theory this morning on our message, that came from Soldiers for Christ. It was a message. And because of their message, I decided I would use it to try to help get that understanding, the same message that they shared, out to others. Because it hit me that it was very important that everyone should know this. And the thing is be ye watchful. Be ye watchful. What does that mean? So let's go look over at 1 Peter 5, chapter 5, 8 through 11. Today's message is about being careful and watchful so we can protect ourselves against non-believers, because non-believers are pretty adamant about not hearing the word, and some of us will attack us, and they themselves aren't the ones that are doing it, folks. Keep this in mind while you're finding your place in 1 Peter 5. Keep this in mind. When we're attacked, we could be attacked verbally. We can be attacked physically, and we can actually be attacked financially. But the devil is in that. That's not God doing that. God does not want for his children ever to have problems. But he also says, look, I'm going to put problems in your way. And that's why they call them tribulations, trials and tribulations. They're in our way so that we will call out to him in our time of need. Because, see, we go about asking for things all the time. And God hears our prayers all the time, and he answers every single prayer. The difference is, when you're a Christian, sometimes the answers come, and you go, well, if that's what you want from me, Lord. When you're a non-believer and you think God owes you something, or you only pray out, God help me, God save me, and it's a miss, God hears your prayer, and he'll bless you, but you won't know that he blessed you. You'll think God does nothing for you. Yet you're still alive, you're still breathing, and you're still kicking. And even if you were to die today, where you go is between you and God. That decision is whether you make the decision to serve Christ, to love him, to believe that Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, that he was born, that he was raised from the dead, that he lives in heaven on the right hand of Christ, on the right hand of God, rather. But folks, if you look at 1 Peter 5:8-11, it says this: be sober. That doesn't mean that you're drunk. That means that you can be awake, that you're not caught up in everything else and confused. Be vigilant, always seeking to do the work of God. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. You see, sometimes you think you're doing the right thing, and the devil can't wait to get you caught up in your fleshly sins and whatever, and he's going to devour you in that. He's going to cause you to falter and fall, and then you're going to look around, and you're going to wonder just what happened to you in your life, and why is this happening? And the devil's going to sit there rubbing his hands, laughing and thinking it's a joke, just like if somebody tripped someone, fooling around joking, and they tripped and fell. That person thinks it's funny, except they don't get hurt. And it is kind of a hilarious moment for some, but it's not, because a person can fall down, break a wrist, hit their head, get hurt, and the devil is sitting there laughing, thinking it's a joke. He says, be sober, be vigilant, because the devil's a roaring lion. Then it says in verse 9, whom resistest steadfast in faith. In other words, if you're not steadfast in faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brother around the world, that means our faith is that all these people, even though I suffer, even though I complain, even though I moan and complain, and I do my share, trust me, I'm not alone in this. Be faithful. Go, you know what? Jesus is with me always. When you lose that, and that's what it says, whom resist steadfast in faith. That means when you're not steadfast in your faith. That means when you're not having enough faith. That means you know your brothers and sisters in Christ are going through difficulties. Right? You can pray for them, but how come when you're going through it, you don't think that God's there with you? He's there with you as much as he's there with them, and they go through the same things you go through, and I don't care what the issue is, you're not unique. Your problems are the same. Jesus suffered every one of our sins, every one of our wrongs, every one of our problems and troubles. He suffered them. So you're not alone. He knows exactly what you're going to go through. He knows exactly the pain you're going to go through. He knows how you're going to get out of it and what you're going to do to get out of it. But only you can make that choice. It says here, it says, it's accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But in 10, it says this, but the God of all grace, hear that? But, you know what they say about the word but? That means forget all the rest, right? The God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, because if we're Jesus's, if we're followers of Jesus, we were called by God to serve Jesus, and then guess what? God sent Jesus for us. This is the part where you got to understand, folks. Who hath called us unto his eternal glory because of Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ goes to the Father with all our issues and solves them and gets them fixed through God. Not because of anything that we do, but because of Jesus Christ. After that, ye have suffered a while, meaning sometimes you have to suffer a little while. But it'll make you perfect, establish you, strengthen you, and settle you. You understand, folks? Sometimes we're meant to go through problems. Sometimes we're meant to go through trials and tribulations. Because it makes us perfect and it establishes us and it threatens us and it settles us. And we look back and we go, wow, I didn't realize all that. Kind of like with the truck. I sat around for almost 10 days. How am I going to get my truck fixed? What am I going to do? Do I have to buy a new truck? Lord, what do you want from me? How am I supposed to do this? You know that truck is used for ministries. And I get a little worked up about that, and that's my flesh. That's just how it goes in life for all of us as humans. We start having an anxiety attack. But you know what? Through that whole thing, I kept going, you know what? God will take care of it. God is going to straighten this out, and it'll be fixed. When the first amount of money came in from the family, I didn't realize, okay, that's going to pay for my truck when it was at the first garage. But I found out it's not that. It wasn't something simple. It was much more than that. And then when I went and seen the second mechanic, which was 10 days later, hoping that the truck could be fixed, but still having that little bit of Thomas doubt, when the guy said to me, he said, it'll cost this much money, I almost passed out. I shook his hand so fast and said, thank you, you take care of it, and I'll be back with the money. And I'll tell you why. Because the amount that he mentioned was exactly the dollar amount. You see, God will always walk us through those temptations, trials, and problems, and then say to us, he strengthened you and he settled you. Because you know what? I have to continue to rely on God for everything, no matter what. No matter what the problem is, no matter what the trial is, no matter what the tribulation is, he is with me always, just as it says. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. But guess what, brothers? I'm not the only one that suffers these things. And it's because of God's grace which called us into his eternal glory. To him be glory in verse 11 and dominion forever and ever. Amen. The devil uses our temptations, our fleshly desires, to lead us away from the truth and God's ways. You know, there's things you start thinking, well, what am I going to do? I got to do this, I got to do that, and how am I going to get this done? And you start getting scatterbrained. And you, some of you know exactly what I'm talking about by scatterbrained. It just drives you nuts, it causes anxiety, and you just can't handle it. And God says, I told you, be still and know that I am God. Look at here. Here's a warning for you. It says this. The warning, take heed, in Acts 20. If you go look at Acts 20, and I'll wait for you to get there a couple of seconds. Go look at the book of Acts, chapter 20, verse 28. Verse 28 means to pay attention to what I say and be careful. Should you refuse, there is consequences. And verse 29 tells us exactly what happens when we do not take heed to the warnings given. So look at this here, Acts 20, 28. Take heed, which means pay attention. Therefore unto yourselves, that means pay attention to yourselves, pray, ask God, be aware of what's going on around you, know that the devil is trying to confuse you and cause anxiety. And then it says, further into the verse, and to all the flock, that means pay attention also to the flock. Be aware of your people, your surroundings, those that are with you in Christ. As a preacher, if I'm sharing the gospel, I need to be aware of what my flock is doing. Over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you what? Overseers. That means as our fellow brothers and sisters and Christians, we're supposed to be watching over our brothers and sisters in Christ. And as a preacher especially, to make sure that they're in check with the Lord and not upset, not depressed, not having anxiety. And when you can point out the reasons why they do and how God is there with them, you better be ready to do that in a moment's, and I mean this, in a second's notice, forget a moment's notice, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. Father God, I thank you for feeding our pantries with all of that food that you give us. It feeds so many families. Verse 29 says this, for I know this, that after my departing, this was Jesus Christ and Paul, shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Now, do you understand what that means, folks? He says this, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. That means that they're going to come in, they're going to corrupt the flock, they're going to do things and get the Christian people to go astray, to think there is no God, to go live it up somehow at some nightclub, possibly drink more than they should, get drunk, hurt somebody while they're driving, and then that person's going to feel like, what a failure I am, because they don't look at one thing. The devil pulled them aside. They yanked them out of the Christian way. They pulled them away from Christ. They got them to go astray, and next thing you know, they're going down the wrong path. That's what that means. Look at verse 30 of chapter 20 of Acts. Also of your own selves shall men arise. Now this here, I tell you folks, as a person who shares the gospel, I don't know how many times, people saying, you tell me you're a Christian because I make mistakes and I say something or do something. They go, and he preaches. And this was one of my friends would say that every so often. And this man preaches. But that's because when I get aggravated and frustrated, I forget who I am sometimes, and the devil pulls me aside. Takes me right out of doing all the good works I've ever done. And, you know, that's what our world looks for, is that one little glimmer of fault, so they can say, I thought you were a Christian. I thought you were a preacher. I thought you were this. I can't believe you speak like that. Now look at it. It says here, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Because, see, they want to point their fingers at you and say, ah, you're a Christian, but look at you. You're nothing but a heathen just like the rest of us. Why do you got a following? Why don't you come with me? He's a false teacher. You see, that's what the devil does. But then you walk away because you don't want to hear it. Because you think your pastor or your priest is supposed to be, or your preacher is supposed to be somebody special who walks on water. And let me tell you, folks, I don't walk on water. I barely drink enough of it. Okay? Now, I'm going to tell you something. I'm lucky enough to do anything that makes lives happier for others, even though I do a lot that works that way. But I do it because God directs me, not because of my own flesh and blood. Because the Holy Spirit that works in me says, this is what you're going to do. Like a few months back, sometime over the spring, when a couple had a problem with their car, an elderly couple, rather, bringing their granddaughter home for a couple of days to visit with them, had broke down. I was like, well, I ain't got time to give them a ride. I'm busy at my friend's garage. Then after a little while, the Lord kept convicting my soul, and he said to me, I asked you to go do that, and that's what you're going to do. I even said to my friend, I'm too busy. I ain't got time to take somebody for a ride another state away. And no sooner was I saying that, and the Lord was saying, what do you mean you don't have time? You make time. You give them a ride. They need the ride. Their car was broke down in front of his garage. They were waiting for AAA to come get it, as we couldn't fix it. I gave them a ride. I don't know what happened to them after that. Doesn't matter. But I did what God asked me to do. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. When you think about this, people will say, you're no good. They're going to point fingers at you and tell you how rotten you are. They're going to go around mocking you in society. If you're sharing God's word, that's just what they do. I have decided this verse is for the preachers and the teachers especially. This is verse 30. To be aware of, yes, all three are critical for all believers, that's for sure. But many non-believers will come out and speak against you, speak evil, vile ways against you, speak evil things against you. We will have to live on the straight and narrow at all times, living, walking, talking, breathing, and doing the best we can to not sin, the best we can to do right, and not behave in a manner where someone would be able to look at us and say, you're not really a Christian. Remember the watching and waiting to be devoured in 5:8 of Peter. We can be so easily tempted to go astray, and it is very easy, folks. I don't care what it is, whether it's alcohol, drugs, sexual immorality, or just being angry, just cussing when something doesn't go right. Galatians 1, 6 through 7 says this. If you look at Galatians chapter 1, in verse 6, it says, I marvel that ye are soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. You see, sometimes we fall apart and we go trust in something else or someone else instead of leaning on the Lord, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. The church in Galatia is much like many of the churches of today. In Galatia, that's what was being said. Some of these churches, I'm sorry, that we go to, folks, aren't really listening. They're not listening to God. They're not doing what God said in the Bible. They play music that's not really godly. They allow for people to come in unaware that they're living and corrupting that church. They're living in that church, living in sin. They bring in their sinful lifestyles. And others look at them and go, I thought this was a Christian church. Now, I'm not saying that we don't witness to the lost souls. That's what we're supposed to do. Some of the people are following liars, folks. I'm sorry to say that, and I'm sorry to speak like this, but it's the truth. Some of these preachers are lying. They're false teachers. The only way to know the truth is read God's word, and not from a book that does not have all the verses and meanings of God's word. You have to read a Bible that has it all, not part of the history. Do not take a man's word for God's truth. I've said before, they will come in among us. We either remove them, the false teachers and the Antichrist, Because Antichrists are non-Christians. That's all that means, non-Christians. You cannot grow in Christ by accepting false teachings of Christ. The Antichrist of the Bible is the devil. But in our world, we have plenty of people that are anti-Christian. And that makes them anti-Christ. Because if you're in Christ, you're a Christian. If you're in Christ, you're a Christian, you're part of Christ. Acts 20, 30 through 31. Also of your own selves, all men, rise and speak perverse things. You think about that, folks. Therefore, watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears, he said. That means tears, not only just crying, but praying out to God. We serve the Lord by giving in prayer and being in prayer while weak in the flesh, afraid, and during temptations. Look at verse 19. Says this, we can do less for ourselves knowing we are serving the Lord because the end result is finishing my course and share the gospel, verse 24. We are to share the gospel of Christ at all costs, never being afraid or avoiding the opportunity. When we're standing there and we get a little nervous about sharing the gospel, that means the Holy Spirit's telling us, please do this. Don't be afraid, folks. God will put the words in your mouth and help you explain what's going on. And if you look at verse 27 and verse 20, for time I don't have that, but I will tell you, you look at verse 27 and then go look at verse 20 in that order, and you'll see what I mean. We should be sharing the truth of the gospel however we have to without a person getting upset. You cannot get to heaven if you're not sharing God's word. Oh, you may want to get to heaven. Oh, you may think you're going to a better place, but salvation's the only way. Without Jesus Christ, you can't get there. And pray without ceasing for the lost souls we meet, verse 31. Because we do meet a lot of lost souls, folks. I thank you for listening to the word. I'm glad I was able to share it. I hope I've made sense to you. Please be on the watch what you're dealing with, who you're dealing with, and then pray for them, because they're not necessarily the one that's wrong. It's the devil that's doing that, folks. The devil's doing all he can to corrupt you and keep you corrupted. And as long as he can do that, he's going to. I have another song for you. It's Michael Sykes, Lord, I'm Coming Home. As soon as I can get it to play out for us, I will. Let me see if I can do this. But you know, folks, you cannot, not once in your lifetime, can you do anything for Christ without Christ helping you. It's important that you live for Jesus Christ. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. God bless you. Have a great day. Find me, William Preacher Bill Barnes, over on Facebook. If you have any questions, come visit me, and I'll gladly answer them. Here's the last of our songs for the day and the end of our message. God bless you, and have a great Sunday. I'm coming. with you and have a great day. God bless you.